We have been reflecting upon some lessons from the book of Luke in the evenings. And this morning I have one verse from the book of Luke, but I want to read some verses from the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 10 to 14. Matthew chapter 24, verses 10 to 14. The Bible says, "And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." This is Jesus speaking. But then in the book of Luke, I just want to read Luke chapter 17, verse 1, from the New King James Version. "Then he said to his disciples, 'It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come.'" It's impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to gather in this place. Maybe not many, like in the mornings. But Father, we want to hear your voice this evening. And Father, we place into your hands this half an hour or so that we are about to spend in this place. And Father, we pray that may your Holy Spirit come and help us, Lord, to hear your voice. Father, forgive our sins and help us, Lord, to be attentive to your word this evening, because we come in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's interesting that the Lord Jesus says in the verse 9, which is the context of the verses that we just read, he says, "And then they will deliver to you to tribulations and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name." Matthew chapter 24, verse 9, just the verse before verse 10. In many other nations in the world, this is reality. And we don't realize, we don't count our blessings. It's easy for us to come to church, to worship here. But the Lord Jesus says, you will be hated by all nations. It's quite gloomy, isn't it? Is the Lord speaking? Now, in many other nations in the world, this is reality. And many more Christians have been martyred in the 20th century than in the past 19 combined. Maybe you don't realize that. That is happening. The news do not sell, so they will not cover those news. And that's a reality. According to the United States Commission of International Religious Freedom, the 12 worst violators of religious liberty are China, Laos, Saudi Arabia, India, Burma, Sudan, Iran, North Korea, Iraq, Pakistan, Vietnam. They are doing it. Notice, however, Jesus said that the persecution of Christians will eventually extend to all nations. That's the reality. How does Jesus see the church responding in the end times? We are reading this. How Jesus saw us in this century? Well, he says, and then many, what? Will be offended. He is not talking about people outside. He's talking about us, the church. I will not go back to that church. I don't like the music in that church. I don't like the speaker in that church. This brother did something to me. Oh, she's awful. Many will be offended. To me, I have found when I was in England, it was harder to bring back to church those who had been in church. There have been deacons in the church. There have been preachers in the church. They are offended. I will go to a church who is a proper church. I will not worship in that church because it's not a church. Offended. There are many responses. Who are these offended? Well, and because lovelessness will abound, what happened? The love of many, what? Will grow cold. The love of many will grow cold. The Greek word here, as we read this verse, the Greek word here, the love of many will grow cold, is the word agape. And here there are several words of love in the New Testament. We have agape, filio, we understand about eros. That's another word. But here we have this tension between agape and filio. And sometimes we read the word love, but the English word love. Sometimes we could say, "Well, oh, that's love." But as I say, I love my shoes. I love tacos. I love McDonald's. Oh, you don't like it, yeah? All right. Thank you, brother. I will not be offended. But you see, that is a different kind of love. And Jesus is saying, and the love of many will grow cold. And now, filio defines a love found among friends. You treat me kindly, I will do the same. So, if you invite me for dinner, you are expecting me to invite you for dinner. But what happens if I don't invite you? If you send me a card, that's filial love. If I give you a smile, I want that smile back. You treat me kindly, I will do the same. That's the filial love. But the agape love is the love of God. Sheds abroad in the hearts of his children. Is not based on performance or even whether it is returned. It is a love that gives even when rejected. That is the love that Jesus is talking about here. And it says that the love agape is going to grow cold in the churches. In the end. Times, and this is very, we need to be careful, my friends, because as I said this morning, my heart breaks, and I hope I could learn Welsh. Please pray for me so I could go and preach in this small chapel in Welsh. I don't know. Please, do you believe that can happen? Yeah, I mean, amen, brother. You see? And because they are close, and perhaps we need to be reminded. Shall we read together verse 1? This is the verse I'm preaching tonight. That's it. Let's read together. Then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. We are going to be offended. And as we are in churches, we need to be aware about the deceptive trap. There is a trap there. Offended. The word offended here comes from the word scandalon. This word originally referred to the part of the trap to which the bait was attached. You see this trap, when you are going to, this is the word scandalon in Greek, and that is the picture. You know, the Greek language have pictures, and this is the picture that describes this word. And in the New Testament, it often describes an entrapment used by the enemy. So when you are offended, we need to be aware that we are trapped. Offense is a tool of the devil to bring people into captivity. I feel offended by what you said. You have been trapped. Scandalon. In the Bible, that's not my subject today. In the Bible, we have Paul trying to help Timothy. Timothy is a young preacher, and it looks like Timothy's in problems. And yes, Timothy has been offended, but Paul reminds him, those who are in the quarrels or opposition fall into the trap are held prisoners to do the devil's will. But it's interesting that when we are offended, we are not aware that we have been trapped. We are the last ones. And these people offended, they don't realize that they have been sweeping out of bitter waters rather than pure waters. And then when a person is deceived, is blind, she or he believes is right, even though he or she is wrong. They have been offended. One person, John B. Beard, in a book called The Bait of Satan, he says, no matter what the scenario is, we can divide all offended people into two categories. Those who have been treated unjustly and those who believe they have been treated unjustly. Two people. We need to be aware about the trap. Maybe you have been trapped. Jew has been offended. Now today, just very briefly, I just want to reflect about this. And the first thing we need to consider is the problem is great expectations. We have great expectations. If we have expectations about certain people, these people can let us down. Please don't have great expectations about me. I'm just a servant. I am a human being. The first problem is great expectations. But if we don't have expectations about someone, anything given is a blessing and not something owed. Oh, that's agape. Do you understand the difference? That's agape love. So we come to churches, but most people, we don't want to have agape love. We want the other kind of love. We have great expectations. And the outcome, what is the outcome? Walls of protections. And we set ourselves up for offense when we require certain behaviors from those with whom we have relationships. You remember they said, well, If I smile, I want that smile back. If I give you a gift, I want a gift back. If I give you time, I want you give me some time. You see, great expectations. And the problem is, we are going to be offended. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19 says, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. And contentions are like the bars of a castle. A wonderful verse to describe that. We need to be aware of the trap. And we need to see if we have great expectations. If a brother loves me, fine. Maybe they treat me unjustly, I am called to love them. Agape. Agape love. So the problem is great expectations. And then we have these walls of protections. You know, I like that castle there. I'm sorry, I should have taken a picture of the other castle that's around, you know, to make sense. And but anyway, the outcomes are walls of protections. And we construct walls when we are hard to safeguard our hearts and prevent any future wounds. We become selective, denying entry to all we feel will hurt us. We filter out anyone we think owes us something. We withhold access until these people have paid their debts in full. I love him, I love her, if she loves me back, if he loves me back. We open our lives only to those we believe are on our side. That's my friend. She does what I ask. That's my friend. Oh, he's lovely. Because they do what we want. But what happens when they don't? Are you still going to love them? Yet often these people who are on our side are offended as well. And we don't realize that we have offended them. The focus of offended Christian is inward and introspective. We guard our rights and personal relationships carefully. But on the other hand, unconditional love gives others the right to hurt us. Please don't. A natural example is the two seas in the Holy Land. You know, we have the Sea of Galilee. Beautiful. It's carried by wave of the Jordan River to the Dead Sea. But the Dead Sea, you know, only takes water and does not give it out. There are no living plants or fish in it. The living waters of the Sea of Galilee become dead the moment touch the other one. So an offended Christian is one who takes in life. Okay, things are as I like it. Everything is I wanted. But I don't want to release anything. We wanted our own way. Life cannot be sustained if held onto. It must be given freely. You see, do you know, well, maybe you know, if you are driving on the motorway and suddenly you see an accident nearby and you see the bodies there on the road, how do you know who you have to help first? If you see them covering in blood and in a very bad shape, you know how? You just go around, and you don't need just to ask anything. You just touch. What is happening? The pulse. If we feel it, that means the heart is pumping blood. It hasn't stopped. There is life. I'm going to help that person. That's what I learned. So you are, you know, if we are in trouble, and we see somebody, we go around the wounded and we touch. I don't need, maybe it's not talking, it's unable to speak. This is alive. Come on. It's life. The heart is pumping blood. That's a Christian who is alive. We give life. We are not just taking. We have to allow other people to receive the blessings. But the problem is that we want to do it our way. And now, so an offended Christian is who takes in life, but because of fear, cannot release life. As a result, even the life that does come, it becomes static. It's like a prison. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 to 5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This stronghold, when we don't want to be offended, when we want to do things as we want it, create a set of pattern of reasoning through which all incoming information is processed. Okay, this is right, no, this is not right. Although they were originally erected for protection, they become sorts of distortion because they war against denying the knowledge of God. When we filter everything through past hurts, rejection, and experiences, we find it impossible to believe God that we can be healed. We cannot believe what he says without his goodness and faithfulness, since we judge him by the standard set by man in our lives. But God is not a man. He is God. And I was hurt. When I was young, I was hurt in church. Offended people will be able to find scripture passages to back their position, but many times this is not the correct division of God's word. The Bible said this. That's the reason why I don't want to go to church. That's the reason why I don't want to worship in that church. The knowledge of God's word without love is destructive. It's a destructive force because it puffs us up with pride and legalism. And I invite you to think about this evening. We have things in our minds, but this has to work with this. Mind and heart. Something happened to us and we remember. But now, when we surrender our lives to Jesus, our heart has to change. So our heart has to work with our mind. Let me try to explain this tonight. The unconditional love gives others the right to hurt us. And we know that God's word says something, but we still remember what happened in the past, or what happened yesterday, or what happened last week. So when we are not having the right correlation between our mind and heart, it's dangerous. Because this causes us to justify ourselves rather than repent. And forgiveness. We have to allow God to help us to be healed. Now, when we are in this state, remember, we need to be aware of the trap. We are trapped. So our mind is saying, you are right. You have the right to be like that. That church doesn't love you. That man doesn't love you. Your wife doesn't love you. Your husband doesn't love you. You aren't that. You're having this fight. And now Jesus is saying immediately, he says, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. He's talking about the church. Who are they, the many? He's not saying some. Many will be offended. Many have been offended. They are having this fight, mind and heart. And Jesus says, many will be offended. And many prophets, not few, many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. So the moment you are trapped, you are going to be deceived. In other passages, we find Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. He says, watch out for false prophets, they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Jesus speaking. Jesus was speaking in Matthew before, and now in 24, now here in Matthew 7:15, he described. And then, you know, wolves go after the wounded and young sheep, not the healthy and strong ones. So they will come, the wolves will go there to those sheep, and they will attack those. So the moment, you like my sheep. the moment you feel wounded, These wolves will tell you what you want to hear. So you will go to churches. They will preach what you want to hear. You see the point? Jesus said, in the last days, he's not talking about anything else. It's interesting. He said, many will be offended. And that's the history of the church. Churches split because a group of people has been offended. And then false prophets come and said exactly what they want to hear. And Jesus says, they will be deceived. Notice that they says they will come. They don't want sound doctrine. They want someone to tickle their ears. Oh, that's lovely. You are talking about love. That's lovely. Don't talk about wrath, the wrath of God. No. You want to hear? Let's be careful. Paul is helping Timothy, as I said before, because Timothy is having this struggle in a church. We imagine that Timothy is a young minister there. And Paul is saying to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. He said, but know this, that in the last days, Jesus is talking about the last day. Remember Matthew? Perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having what? A form of godliness. False prophets. But denying its power. The word of God called us to be holy, and some prophets, because that's okay. In the first century, that was a sin. Now it's not a sin. And from such people, he says, run away. It sounds lovely. Notice that they will have form of godliness or Christianity, but they will deny the power of the gospel. How they deny the power? They deny that Christianity can change them from being unforgiving to forgiving. They will boast of being followers of Jesus and proclaim their new birth experience, but they will not show what the character of Jesus. They will running from church to church to escape offense, to hear what they want to hear. All of them professing the Lordship of Christ, while they cannot forgive. The Apostle Paul, it seems to me that he's crying, repent. And then Jesus says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. The love agape will grow cold. This is the biggest challenge our church is facing these days. We will be called towards things of God. When it comes to our faith, we are either growing colder or growing hotter. We can never stay the same. You come to church and you can see people, come on, we are going to do this. We're going to hotter. But when we see churches, oh, that's okay. It's dangerous, my friends. What to do? I want to conclude tonight. And what to do? How many of you have been offended? Oh, some of you have not been. Oh, brilliant. One of the reasons I didn't want to be a minister, because I saw my father crying many times, being offended by people. And I said, I don't want that. And then I learned that at some points I'm going to be offended. What to do? We are to trust in the Lord. We are to trust in the Lord. Shall we read together? I like this verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not lean. And do not lean. I said lean. Sorry. That's what I did, you know, in the past. Now, tonight, it's easy to learn verses like this with a song. What to do? Trust in the Lord. I need a volunteer to come forward and help me to do it. I'm going to teach you this very silly song. No silly song. This is a very simple song. Any volunteer? Come on. A volunteer, I want you to help me. Because we need to do some actions. Oh, thank you, Monica. That's, you see? This is a, I want you to remember, we are living in this last time. I want you to remember, this is, I'm not saying something that the Bible doesn't say. And this song says something like this. I'm going to sing the just a cappella, and then I'm going to do the actions with Monica. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. This is what it says in Proverbs 3, verse 5. Don't rely on what you got. Learn to rely on the Lord. Now, listen. Listen. Okay. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Okay, let's do it again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. This is what it says in Proverbs 3, verse 5. Don't rely on what you got. Learn to rely on the Lord. You got it? Let's stand and let's sing together. Stay here. We are going to sing. We are going to sing with me. Okay, let's. I want you to remember something today, tonight, before we finish. Okay, let's do it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. This is what it says. In Proverbs 3, verse 5, don't rely on what you got. Learn to rely on the Lord. Something like that, because we are going to do it with me. One more time, one more time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. This is what it says. In Proverbs 3, verse 5, don't rely on what you got. Learn to rely on the Lord. Well done, well done. Sit down. Trust in the Lord. How can I develop my faith? The psalmist says, that is God himself who is going to help you. You trust? He is going to help me. Are you offended? He is going to help you. Psalm 18, 32 and 33 said, it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and set me on high places. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on high places. You trust. You don't lean on your own understanding. Remember mine? What is the deer mentioned in this verse? Why does the psalmist focus so much attention upon the deer's feet? You know why? This is amazing. Maybe you know that. Because this deer, the deer has an amazing ability when climbing a steep mountain slope of ensuring that its back feet align on the exact spot where its front feet were positioned. That is the key. Can you see this deer? I was fascinating. I used to drive to Tay Cecilia to in Brentwood, near the place we were living. I used to see this. That is the key. The coordination, the back, it goes exactly on the same spot. This perfect correlation between his front and back feet enables a deer to avoid the dangers that will befall a less coordinated animal. We can approach to God with our minds and think that because we have a clear idea of what we want, God will give it to us. But the heart may contain hidden doubts. This prevents us from being fully integrated people because we have been wounded. And the Bible writers is drawing attention to the sure this correlation of the deer to show us that the experience of the natural realm we can experience in the spiritual realm. That's what David is writing here. He sees the deer. Do you really want to be free from an unforgiving heart? Because it's holding you back. Remember, mind and heart. You remember. But you're not giving your heart to God. You're not trusting. Just saying, I am right. Do you really want to be free from an unforgiving heart? Do you really want to climb higher with God than you have ever gone before? God wants to bless your life. He wants to heal your life. I conclude this evening by saying Habakkuk speaks about the same, the deer. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19. They said, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet what? Like the feet of a deer. Beautiful. Do you understand now why the deer is mentioned? He enables me to tread on the height. If you keep these things in your mind, you are not surrendering your life to God. Remember this song? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. It's impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him from whom they do come. We leave it to God. Jesus says, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Oh, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Remember the deer in our silly song this evening. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like his feet. It makes me walk on my high places. May the Lord help us to endure to the end.